Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Zurian Show. And as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirits. And when we talk about good spirits, we've definitely got the person that you want to hear from today. And that is the great and all-knowing Miss Lisa G.T. Page, M.E. She's got a master's in education. She also is a lead consultant and the owner of D.T. Page Consulting, LLC. She has over 20 years in the field of personal and professional mentoring and coaching, document development, program development, evaluations, in addition to 5 years of experience in editing and publications. Ms. Page is a phenomenal human being that is based out of Atlanta, Georgia. She is one of those ladies that will impress you as she impresses everyone that she comes into, and we are very glad and happy to have somebody like her greatness amongst us, because, guys, you know we've got some pretty interesting and influential speakers, and let me tell you now that Ms. D.T. Page, Tillman Page, however you want to say it, is one of those people. She is definitely a cut above the rest, a person that can help you to reach your goals, your dreams, and all of the above, because we find that there are a lot of people that talk a lot of smack, but there are a few people that actually have the drive, the intelligence, and the will to do it, and Ms. Page is one of them. She is also a doctoral student, and pretty soon we'll be calling her Dr. What is it, Tillman Page, D.T., whatever else you want to call it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the stage the owner and the founder of D.T. Page Consulting, LLC, and she's going to dazzle us with a bunch of information. So with that, Lisa, thank you for coming on the show, and welcome.
Well, thank you so much, Zurian. I really appreciate all of those really great things that you said, and I hope that I can live up to them. Before I start, I want to apologize to you and your listeners if you hear some extra background noise. I have a situation that cannot be helped, so I'm not in the most quiet area, but we're going to make it work. So I hope it's not too much.
Not a problem. We appreciate, again, ladies and gentlemen, that just goes to show you, as we say in the Marine Corps, that esprit de corps. She had other things going on but still found time to share her time with you. So, Lisa, with that said, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Okay. Well, other than what you said, I'm originally from Hartford, Connecticut. I'm a New England girl who transplanted to Georgia some 25 years ago, and so I guess I'm a northern Georgia peach. But I've been enjoying the South. I do miss my four seasons in the fall. The fall is my favorite, but I do enjoy Georgia. And I have one daughter. She is in college in Charlotte, North Carolina, and she is definitely the love of my life. And I have, last year, I started D.T. Page Consulting, LLC, so February 15th was my one-year anniversary. And to come to think of it, I really didn't celebrate. So I'm going to have to celebrate maybe a month later. So on the 15th, I'll find a way to celebrate. So I'll let you all know. So if you're in the Atlanta area, you all can celebrate this with me. But it has truly been a faith walk, and something that has been on my heart to do. And I believe this is my purpose doing it. As you said, we do mentor coaching, personal and professional. We do trainings and conferences and some editing. And it's all around helping people to live their most authentic lives. And I started my authentic walk some 17 years ago, and I think today I am the most authentic and real Lisa D.T. Page that I've ever been. And when I receive my doctorate, you don't have to call me doctor. I'll still be Lisa, still be down-to-earth Lisa, as I always have been.
Okay, but I thought we already agreed I have to call you Oh Great One.
That would be Dr. Oh Great One to you. So
there you go. All right, listeners, as you can hear, no matter where I go, she's going to put me in my place. So, you know, there was another thing that was really curious. The title of our show, Living Language, Love, Speaking, Being, and Doing. The title just threw me, but I let it go. Tell me, how did you come up with that?
Well, I was wondering if you were going to ask me about that, but you never did, so I'm going to tell you now. Really, what it is about is, as you know, you're a great communicator, and everything we do is about communicating. It doesn't make a difference if we're communicating with another human being, if we're communicating with an animal, if we're communicating with machinery. You have to have the right code in order to make sure that your message has gotten across. And so living, we are not just by ourselves in the world. We have to interact with other people, and we need to use language. I don't care if it's verbal, nonverbal, sign language, written language. We need to use language in order to enhance our living and enhance our interaction with others. And then what we want to do is we want to communicate in a loving way. It doesn't have to be romantic loving way, but loving just another human being for the simple fact that they are a human being. So that's where the speaking, doing, and being comes in. It's all about who we are and what we do to interact and actively engage other people. So
okay.
I tried to whittle it down to a shorter title, but that just said it all for me.
Okay. Well, speaking on the subject of communication and love, then I guess we'll go with the first thing I'd like to ask. Does it feel like the one you love doesn't quite seem to convey their love to you in a way you really want them to? Could you tell us about that?
Okay. So this whole premise of living language and loving, the five love languages, it's based off of the five love languages by Dr. Gary Chapman. And I was first introduced to this book some 14 years ago. A friend gifted it to me, and when I was reading it and the person was talking to me about it before I was reading it, she said, you know, we talk to people the way we want to be talked to. You know, the golden rule, treat others the way you want them to treat, the way you want to be treated. Well, there are five basic love languages, and they're words of affirmation, gifts, physical touch, acts of kindness, and quality time. And so what we do is if my love language is words of affirmation, and I just love it when people tell me, Lisa, you're great, you did a good job, they call me Oh Great One, whatever, if that's my love language, then I'm going to keep saying that to other people. I'm going to tell them they're great. But that might not mean anything to them. They might say, I know I'm great. You know, I actually really want you to just hold my hand, or I want you to give me a hug. And so that's their love language. What we do is we talk to people from based on our love language, and we don't often take the time to figure out what their love language is. And so, again, it doesn't have to be a romantic thing. It can be, you know, any kind of interaction and any kind of a relationship. And so you want to know what conveys love, what conveys that I care about this person. And it can be on the most surface level that you care about them, but what conveys a good sense of feeling to them from me. So that's what that is about.
Okay. So I think in that you kind of covered what the primary love languages are, but how do others typically speak to each other in a love language that's not theirs?
Well, again, you know how when if you're in another country, we were talking before we went on air about traveling. So if you're in another country and you don't necessarily speak the language, and you're trying to find out where the closest restaurant is, and you're speaking to them in English and they're not understanding. And so what do we typically do? We speak louder, as if that makes the understanding a little better, and it doesn't. And so we have to take the time to understand what their language is. So if, we were talking again off air, you said you have four children, and so I'm sure what conveys love to your youngest is totally different than what conveys love to your oldest. For example, your youngest might like to snuggle, might like to hug, you know, be up under you. My daughter, I used to call her, she was my own personal piece of Velcro, because wherever I was, she was right at my hip. And I would, like, after a while, I would move her over a little, and she would be right there. I'm tripping over her feet because she's pretty much on my feet. And even now, I mean, at the age of 21, she will come and we'll go and sit somewhere together, and she is right up next to me like a piece of Velcro. But maybe your oldest, maybe theirs is yes. And if you gave them a card, or if you gave them, you know, a big ticket item, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but something that they know, oh, you thought about me. You know, a lot of times parents, you know, when we travel somewhere and we want to bring back gifts for our children or our family, and sometimes the kids are like, oh, yeah, okay. But other kids, you know, it could be just a lollipop that has the city's name on it, or it could be a pencil that says Atlanta all around it, and they think it's the greatest thing in the world. So we want to make sure that whomever we're interacting with, that we're speaking a language that conveys love and positive good feelings to them. So that's what that is about. Mm-hmm.
So when you're saying that people, make sure that I got this right. So when you're saying that people have different ways of interacting, I guess that leads into, you know, what do you like to increase as far as your positive, meaningful one-to-one relationships or interactions? Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. So, you know, think about it. It can be an interaction, again, between a parent and a child. It could be a teacher and a student. It could be coworkers. It could be an intimate relationship, siblings, whatever kind of relationship. Excuse me, kind of relationship you can imagine, personal and professional, a new acquaintance, or a lifelong friend. When I interact with this person, I need to get the best I can out of them, whatever it is. If I just want them to hear what I'm saying, if it's a colleague and I just need to get the report from them so I can do my part, if I go to them and I'm mean or I'm closed down and they just want to say, hey, how's your day, and they want to talk to me, And that's quality time. Let's just talk. Let's spend some time instead of just saying, hey, where's my report? I got to go. They want to interact. Well, I know if I just spend a few minutes interacting with them, then I can go on and get my report and move on. But if I just go say, hey, look, you know what, I don't have time for this. Let me just come on and get it and move on. That's not going to get me anywhere. So, you know, when I'm teaching this, I've actually created a curriculum around this. And when I teach this, I ask people, is it better to be understood or is it better to gain understanding? Meaning, is it better for me to understand you, Zurian, or for me to try and get you to understand me? And the truth of the matter is, no matter what, I can't fully get you to understand me because you're your own person with your own thoughts, your own precepts, your own, you know, your own experiences. And so the way you perceive me, there's not a lot I can do to change that down under. You know, I can, you know, turn flips. I can, you know, tell you great things, but you're still going to have your solid perceptions of me. So it's easier and it's better for me and for our interaction if I can understand you, understand what makes you tick. Understand that I know that you are a person who likes to give, and you appreciate others who like to give. And so it's like, you know what, let me pass some information on to Zurian. Let me, you know, how can I support him in this way? You know, how can I get other people to know what a great author he is, or, you know, that he is a six-degree black belt?
Yeah, I've got a couple of those.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a couple of those, yeah. So how is it that I can support him and what he's doing? Because I know that you appreciate that. Instead of just saying, well, here, Zurian, I'm going to just call you all these great and wonderful accolades and tell you all these things that I truly believe and know that you to be. And you might say, yeah, you know what, you don't have to do all that. And you might think, why is Lisa saying all this? Why is she basically just kind of gushing over me? I don't really need all of that. I'm, you know, the guy who kind of likes to sit back some and, you know, I speak when I have something to say, and I try to make my words count. But really what I'd like for her to do is support me in whatever way she can, let people know the message that I have to share. So that conveys a warmer feeling to you. That conveys, you know, a sense of love to you. And so that's what it is. So if I know and I understand how to work in your world, then I can get what I need. We can have a better and healthier relationship. And that's really what this is about. It's about having a healthier relationship with the people you interact with, helping them, leaving them in a better state than when they interacted with you, than before they interacted with you.
Outstanding. So it's basically a very deeper and by the level understanding of the precept that Stephen Covey put out. You know, seek to first understand, then to be understood. But you've actually gone quite a few levels into that, which is awesome. I don't think I've ever had anybody actually articulate it in that manner, and that was very concise, very good. Well, before we go on to the next thing and start talking about your tuning and learning how to discover the primary love languages, could you tell everybody how they can get in touch with you if they want to go further with you?
Sure. You can contact me at my email address, which is Lisa, P as in Paul, at D as in David, T as in Tom, Page, P-A-G-E, consulting.com. That's Lisa P at dtpageconsulting.com. Or you can go to my website, which is www.dtpageconsulting.com. You can check us out on Facebook. We have a new Facebook business page, DT Page Consulting. Or you can call us at 678-871-6506. And that number is, you can get to on either of the website or the Facebook page.
Okay. Again, very cool. And I really appreciate this interaction, and I'm sure that the listeners do too. So before I go to actually start taking any questions, could you tell us a little bit more about tuning in and learning how to discover the primary love languages that bring us closer?
Okay. Well, there are a few ways. One is you can actually go to the 5lovelanguages.com website, and there's an inventory, and I think it takes maybe 7 to 10 minutes to complete, and it will tell you, it's a series of questions, and it will tell you, you know, based on your answers, what your love language is, what your primary love language is. And some people will have two primary love languages, and that's okay. And actually, people's love languages change as they evolve and they grow. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But another way is think of when you were younger, what made you feel loved? What made you feel loved by your parents? Was it when they came in and tucked you in at night? Was it when your mom made your favorite meal? When your dad spent time with you, you know, throwing the ball around? What were those things that just really gave you those really strong, loving memories of when you were a child? And think about when you were a teenager, the same thing. You know, when your friends, I know teenagers go through a lot of different emotions through those turbulent years, but when your friends, was it when your friends remembered your birthday? Was it when everybody was around and everybody was playing ball or everybody was watching a movie together? What were some of the things that gave you that sense that, yeah, this feels good, I feel at home? And not necessarily at home with the people you're with, but at home inside yourself. And so when you think about those things, and even think about now as an adult, when you think about those things, what is it that your significant other does? You know, is it when, you know, your spouse comes home and, you know, cleans the dishes, you know, or is your spouse, instead of saying what's for dinner, they start cooking your favorite meal? Is it when you get flowers, when you get a card? I love greeting cards, and one of the things about greeting cards are like, is I can tell when people have taken the time to choose the right greeting card. And it can take me, I mean, I remember going to, I was trying to choose a birthday card. I went to 4 different stores. It took me 2 hours to find the greeting card that said exactly what I needed it to say. And then when I couldn't find something that said exactly what I needed to say, I got a blank card and I just filled in the words. And so you want to take that time to figure out what is it that really lets me know that I'm loved, that I'm cared for, genuinely cared for by other people. Again, it could be your spouse, it could be your children, it could be your friends. I mean, you know, when you come home and the kids have cleaned the house, how does that make you feel? They've washed the car, they've mowed the lawn, you know? So that's how you can, that's kind of a quick assessment that you can figure it out. But then again, you can go on to Dr. Chapman's website to take the inventory, and it will explain it to you.
Okay, I'll have to look at that because one of the big things with me is networking, and I find that probably 94% of the people I run into that think they know how to network or think that their communication are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, could you talk a little bit about learning the art of effective communication?
Okay. Well, a lot of times what we do, and let me go from an argumentative standpoint, 80% of the arguments we get in, the fussing, the fighting, whatever it is, it could be a short, quick argument, or it can be a long, carried-on, drawn-out argument. I once had an argument that lasted 4 days. It was absolutely insane. But a lot of what we do, 80% of it, we're really fighting to be right. We're really trying to get somebody to say, you know what, you are right. You're right. That's what we want the other person to say to us. And those are really unnecessary arguments. There's 20% of the stuff that we argue about. That's the stuff that we really need to stand our ground and say, you know what, okay, now we really have an issue and I need to talk with you. And so you want to figure out what your 20% is. And the other 80%, you could just let that go by the wayside. And what's amazing is the people who are closest to you, they know how to push our buttons. They know if they say that one thing, you know how you go to the family reunion and there's that one aunt who's going to ask you, when are you going to get married? When are you going to give your mother some grandkids? When are you going to, you know, get a job? What is it, whatever it is they say. And you have to prepare yourself for it. So because you know you can't not go to the family reunion because your parents won't like that, your grandparents won't like that. But also, you know, you have to, you know, you're going to have to face this person. And so you kind of steel yourself and prepare yourself for that. And so you come up with not necessarily a smart remark because you want to respect your elders, but you come up with something that, you know, will kind of say to them whatever it is you need to convey to them and will give them enough, and you keep it moving. Just, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah. You answer the question and you just keep on walking right on. Oh, I hear grandma calling me or whatever. But you have to determine what your 20% is. The other 80%, don't even argue about it. You can tell people, it's okay. We don't have to argue. You know what? It really isn't that big of a deal. The other thing is when you find yourself in one of these 80% arguments or when you're trying to convey a message to someone, think about what is it that you really want to say to them. What are the key points? I used to write stuff down because especially if it was going to be an emotional conversation, I know I would get in my emotions and I would forget and not stick to the three or four key points I wanted to say. So I would hold the notepad and I would look and say, okay, wait. And if it started to go off track, I'd focus myself, you know, on what it is I want to say. The other thing is we have to use I messages. A lot of what we do is we blame other people. You did this, you didn't do that, you didn't. And that automatically puts people on the defense. When someone comes to you and they're constantly telling you what you are and what you're not, you know, that automatically builds up a defense on us. And so an I message is you want to state how you feel. You want to state what happened. I'm sorry, you want to state what happened, how you feel about it, and what you would like to happen from that point on. So basically, and I use this example, let's say, you know, I really like Kool-Aid, and I walk in the house, and my daughter has drunk the last of the Kool-Aid. And it's a hot July Atlanta summer day, and I'm just fiending for some great Kool-Aid. And I go in the kitchen, and I don't see the pitcher in the sink. I don't see the pitcher in the corner counter. So I know that Kool-Aid pitcher is in the refrigerator waiting for me to drink. And I go and I grab that pitcher, and I'm expecting it to be happy. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm expecting it to be healthy, heavy. And so I pick it up, and there's barely anything in there. And I open it up, and there's all of 2 drops, and I am completely deflated. I'm completely upset and annoyed because I have said, fill the pitcher up or put it in the sink. And so, you know, instead of just going on and fussing and how come you always drink the last of the Kool-Aid? You know it's my favorite. You know what I want. Then I can say, listen, I don't like it when I go into the kitchen and I want some Kool-Aid. And I don't see the pitcher out, and so I'm thinking there's something in there. And I go to pour it, and there's nothing in there. It really, really frustrates me. What I would like to happen from this point on is I would like for you to either to put it in the sink or on the counter so I know there's no Kool-Aid in there. Or better yet, I'd love for you to just to fill it up. It only takes 2 minutes. And then leave it at that. So what I've done is I've stated what the situation is, what my concern is, how I feel about that situation, and what I'd like to happen next. That's effective communication. I've put it on me. I haven't blamed them for anything. I've stood up for myself I've stood in my own right to say, this is how I feel, this is why I feel this way, and this is what I want to happen. Now, after I've done that, it's up to that person to determine whether they're going to change or not. I can't make them change. That's the understanding and the understood part. I can't make them change. I can just let them know the way I feel about it. And then we'll see what happens next time I go to go to the refrigerator and go into the kitchen to see if there's the Kool-Aid pitcher is full or if it's in the sink. And then I have to determine, okay, if the pitcher is still in the refrigerator and there's only a swallow in there, is this something I'm going to continue to argue about? Am I going to continue to get upset about it? Or am I going to do something else? So the things that I can do are, one, I can buy a small little college-sized refrigerator with my own lock and key on it, and I can put it in the garage so I know I always have my supply of Kool-Aid in there. I don't have to worry about whether she drinks the last of it or not. Or I can say, you know what, I'm not even going to sweat it. It only takes 5 minutes for her to make Kool-Aid. It only takes 5 minutes for me, and that's just what I'm going to do. So, you know, and of course there are a lot bigger things that you want to deal with in life, and you have to figure out, you know, how do I feel about this, that this person did or did not respond to what I had to say. And sometimes you might have to have this conversation a few times. But it's standing up for yourself instead of blaming other people. It's letting people know where you feel and doing so in a respectful but honest manner. And a lot of times we don't do that. When we communicate, we get in our minds and we think, how are they going to take this? What it's going to say? I know I used to do that a lot. Oh, how is he going to feel about this? What is she going to say? I couldn't stand it when somebody said to me, and this is from even when I was in middle school, somebody said, Lisa, I want to talk to you after school. I'm thinking, oh, man, what did I do? Did I say something? Did I take their book and not give it back? And after a while, and it took me until I was an adult to get over that, and it was really just nonsense. I said, what is the worst the person can do to me is say, you know, they hate me, they don't want to talk to me anymore, they don't like me. Well, you know what? We can work with that and move right along. So that's really what effective communication is about, stating what you need to say in a respectful, in a helpful manner, in a manner that's respectful to you as well as it doesn't downgrade them and so that they're open to receive it.
Outstanding. Well, you definitely talked about how we should stand up for ourselves and stop blaming others. So that's really huge. I mean, you smoked it. You definitely smoked it. I know you brought a lot to our listeners. And I almost know we're going to run over, but that's okay because I want to see if we've got, if any of the people that are in the queue have any questions for you. Are you ready for that?
I guess I'm ready.
Okay, let's try the first caller. Hello, 2638, do you have a question or comment? 2638, do you have a question or comment? Hello, do you have a question or comment? I hear the background noise, but I don't hear anybody talking, so we're going to go to the next person. Hello, 4535. Do you have a question or comment for Lisa? Four five three five. Do you have a question or comment? Lisa, you're just so good that these people are just happy to just listen to the sound of your voice. That's a beautiful thing. We should all be so blessed, right? All right. Yeah.
I guess I talked enough for everybody.
There you go. 7535, did you have a question or comment? Well, we're going to keep it rolling. Lisa, one more time, could you tell everybody how to get in touch?
Okay, sure. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard the phone click. Okay, sure. You can contact me via my website at www.dtpageconsulting.com, and that's D as in David, T as in Tom, P-A-G-E, consulting.com, or you can email me at Lisa, P as in Paul, at dtpageconsulting.com, or you can look me up on Facebook at DT Page Consulting. Also, my telephone number is 678-871-6506, and I welcome your calls and your comments.
Outstanding. And ladies and gentlemen, all of Lisa's contact information is also on the show. So I would, of course, ask anyone that found that this show had information that was useful to you and that you think you should share with other people, please share the link with them. And please also reach out and contact Lisa with any questions. For all of the people that listened online, be it on the feed, in the chat room, called in on their phones to listen, I want to say thank you and to also let you know that you were definitely given a treat today because the lady is phenomenal. You know, and again, we should be paying her for what she shared with us today. So with that said, Lisa, what else would you like to share with us? What are your closing thoughts?
Well, my closing thoughts are for people to just take some time to figure out what feels best for them in any given situation. And if the situation doesn't feel right, if the person is not conveying good feelings to you, the work environment isn't right, take time to figure out why. And then stand in your right to speak to it or to make changes the way you are. This is the only life we have. This is not a practice. It's not a test. This is all we have. And it is worth living to its fullest. It's worth being your best and receiving the best. And so I just encourage everyone to do that.
Outstanding. And I'm going to take you up on that and try to learn and work on my, what was it, 5 love languages?
Love languages. There will be a quiz later.
Well, again, I want to thank you very much. And for the people that are, like I said, in the chat room, again, the lady is phenomenal. She shared a lot of information with us. And pretty soon we're not only going to have to call her, Dr. Lisa Tillman Page, we're also going to have to call her Oh Great One. And then we're really going to have to pay. So I would advise you to get a hold of her now because she's, again, a phenomenal lady. And you just did a big thing. What was it,
it was the Fathers and Families Coalition of America, their annual conference. So we had a great time doing some training with the people who are providing services to fathers, letting them know just how important they are in the lives of their children and the lives of the family, whether the family is intact or not.
Outstanding. How long has that organization been around?
Oh, the organization's been around for 15, 20, maybe about 18 years.
Wow.
Maybe about 18 years. Mm-hmm.
Well, they definitely got the right person to help them to facilitate and organize as they got you.
Well, thank you. It takes one great person to know a great person. So I appreciate your words.
Well, thank you. Again, I don't want to keep you. I know you've got some personal stuff to take care of, some business stuff to take care of, and that's what happens when you're a woman in demand. So thank you for coming on the Zurian Show, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with our listeners.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I had a great time.
And speaking of someone not from another country, but at least I know another country, Domo ragazzone, donde rescacci. Thank you very much.
Take care.
You're welcome. See ya. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Lisa Tillman Page. Again, Lisa Tillman Page is the owner of DT Consulting, LLC. And really a phenomenal lady. And again, she's out of Atlanta, Georgia, but she works with people all over the place. And the email and website and Facebook and all of that stuff has actually been posted, or you can listen to the show to hear it again. Again, this is Zurian of the Zurian Show saying thank you for everything, and we wish you every success. Take care, be well, and have a great day. Ta-ta.
Hello.